Ooh, come on. This has got me sweating. I'm in that pullover. I think I'm better. All right. If you have your notes, would you turn towards the back? All the way to the back? We're going to look at this passage, and we're going to read it together. All right? It says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, letting your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Amen. So, this morning, we had an opportunity to talk about belief. What do you believe, right? What do you believe about salvation? What do you believe? Who do you believe you serve? And now we're going to talk about thoughts and how they actually manifest itself in our actions. So at the very top, right then, belief affects thoughts, affects actions. Out of the mouth pours the desires of the heart. And so we look at this and we go, okay, when we believe something, we start to take things that are around us and we start trying to affirm the things that we believe. We start engaging in reading or different types of social media or articles or TED Talks or podcasts that reaffirm what we believe. And so we do this because, like I said this morning, we don't like to be told no. We also don't like to be told we're wrong. Because we're prideful. And so with this, our beliefs will affect our thoughts. Simply because of the things that we invite in. And so because of that, I wanted to, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans 12. Romans 12. I want to read this with you and then I want to pray. And then we're going to have some fun. Give me thumbs up when you're there. So I know the majority of us are there. Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. It says this, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart tonight. I know that Father, your word would be changing the hearts of these individuals and their minds. I know we've carb loaded. I know that we've had a fun day and all of that, and the heat of the fire is going to start having some eyes droop. But God, I pray that you would put in them a fire to stay here and stay with your word. We love you, God, and we're so grateful for you and everything you do in our lives. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in session one, there was a question that I started off with, and it says this, what is the thing that drives all your decisions and choices? This is what we believe in. This is ultimately the case. In this one, the question I want to start off with is, what things do you put in your mind to create unrest? What things do you put in your mind to create unrest? So if we're talking about contentment, one of the biggest things here is we tend to struggle in our own minds. We get into our own minds. Have you guys ever had like an argument with someone, but only in your mind? Yes? Okay. This is the unrest that we often start, and it fuels even more unrest. Then you can't sleep. then you think you've like nailed this person. You're like, if they say this, I got this. You know, we do this all the time. We get inside our own minds. And we actually invite unrest in what we read and all of the things I listed before. But I want to know for your what your thing is, okay? So, and it's going to be very gentle, okay? So, if you have your phones, I want to do a little experiment. It's okay if you don't. If you have your phones, I want you to get it out. It's okay if you don't, but get it out, look at it. Admire it. What I want you to do is, if you can, I want you to see your average screen time. And if you don't know what it is, like if you don't have your phone, I'm actually curious what you think it is. So what is your average screen time? And you can keep it to yourself. If you want to, you can say it out loud. I will judge you. No, I'm kidding. Just ready up. So you see it. You can show it to your friends. In that screen time, okay, so now you know how much you're on your phone actively, okay? So there's also, I know the iPhone, you can see the amount of pickups you do as well to see time or see, like, if you have any notifications. But average screen time. And the next one I want you to check is, what app are you on the most? And I'm actually curious to know this one. Screen time, you don't have to say anything because you might be like, who cares? Or what app do you think you're on the most? Go ahead, tell me.
Discord.
TikTok. What else? Yeah.
Snapchat.
Yeah. Instagram. Messages. YouTube. Netflix. What else?
Bible.
Nice.
Hours and hours.
Because you guys, I want to be honest in here. How many of you guys have a Facebook account? How many of you guys use a Facebook account? Of you that have it, you're like, I forget it. Yeah, I use it. Yeah. It's so funny to me, the trends, because that's the thing, like, for us, like, us older people. And then, I know. I cried. So you got the apps. What content, if it is Instagram, if it is YouTube, what content are you looking at the most? Because I know, like, TikTok actually, it modifies it. Like, so if you like something, it'll change it. Instagram does the exact same thing. It shows you things that you view a lot, or things that's like it.
The algorithm.
Facebook listens to every word you say and then sells things to you. Instagram does it too. So what content are you watching? Yeah. I'm curious too, and this is just for fun. What, like, do you guys watch streamers, or do you guys, like you guys, and I'm not saying this to say, I'm not like this guy that's like, I want to be relevant to you guys. I do, but I'm not on my knees doing it. So, what is it, like, favorite streamers or, like, influencers, what's your thing?
Hamza?
You might just need to go with the mic around.
Hamza.
Hamza, how many of you guys know who that is? No? Okay, so we got some.
One.
If someone told, like Studio C, is that a thing? Studio C? Mr. Beast? And there's so many more that I don't even know about. And by the way, I think this stuff is absolutely fascinating. I really do. Like, I like to wonder, what is the thing that gets you hooked on what you're watching? And you don't have to answer that, but that's what goes through my mind. Like, I love YouTube, but I use YouTube for, like, I'm learning to play the banjo, and you guys are like, exactly. Go live in the mountains. But I watch YouTube tutorials on how to play banjo, so I can teach myself how to play. Like, I did that with a guitar, and so I use YouTube for those reasons. If I have to change the garbage disposal, I'm like, okay, YouTube will teach me how to do this. Because anything's on you, literally you can punch the keyboard and something is going to come up on YouTube. We know this. But you're typing in something specific. You have, and a lot of people have a niche, like their thing that they naturally will go to. And a lot of this is stemmed from our desire to fuel a thought life. Whether you believe it or not, these are things that you're like, I want to know more about this. Or this guy entertains me. I'm like, Mr. Beast. I understand the entertainment value. Absolutely. He gives money away. Like, he says just random things. And people are like, I want to watch this guy give away thousands of dollars. Not to me. I want to watch him give my subscription or what, like my money that I gave him. I want to watch him give my $5 bill to someone else. Like, I think that's fascinating. What a mind that this man has to go, I'm going to make a show on the backs of those people, those hardworking people, and I'm going to give it to a person you don't know and you don't even care about. And you guys are like, yeah. And by the way, there are others like him. And for some of us, if you're a gamer, like you guys have certain gamers that you watch. They're entertaining, or they're really good at the game, or they're really terrible at the game, but they're funny. And you're like, I'm all about that. But each of these guys, and I'm telling you, they each have a worldview. Do you know this? Everybody here, if I went around and I to understand what a worldview is how you view the world and everything inside it. Cultural, how people work, what makes them tick, what's the foundation of what people believe, your truth, my truth, all of this. Like, that's a worldview. And each of these individuals have a world view that they are selling to you. Mr. Beast, you know who the product is? You are. You're buying it. He's going after you. And what happens is we're like, yeah, and then we're listening to him. You know what his world view is? Give money at once. It's unrealistic. It's completely unrealistic. He's one in millions of people that's able to do this. And the sad part is he's convincing so many people that they can do it too. And so people will end up living their lives with this worldview to realize at 30 years old, 35 years old, I've wasted so much time. Because I put my belief system in a false reality. This is dangerous. And by the way, we do it all the time. And it might not be, by the way, I do it too, okay? So I'm not like, and you're the only ones. Alright? I do this. I do it. I waste my time. I had to do a reality check, and I'll tell you the amount of screen time I had. And you guys would be like, that's nothing. I had 5.5 hours a week that I was literally just spending on my phone looking at it. You know what that means? That means that's 5.5 hours. And you guys could be like, oh my God, 5 hours, come on. That meant I had five and a half hours that I could have spent with my kids, with my wife.
A day.
Actually, that would be really impressive. So, like, 5.5 hours a day. I'll say that. Thank you. Because I know, I mean, I was wondering why some of you were like, oh, this guy, what is he even talking about? This? He's not even qualified. That's why my wife's here. But you imagine this. You know what the average screen time? That this is Barna survey, average screen time for your age. Does anybody take a guess?
8 or 9.
No.
Up. 13 hours.
No. Up.
13 hours. A day.
Hey, I'm way on.
13 hours a day.
Wait, she's doing it.
Yes.
My weekly daily average is 1 hour and 41 minutes.
Amazing.
Okay.
Who knows?
Yeah. Okay.
Do you guys know? Can you guess? Can you guess with me?
No, that wasn't November.
Guess one, when those hours, what like the, so 13 hours, the bulk of those hours, what time of day those happen? It isn't during the day.
I'm not going to bed.
It is all the way to 3 a.m.
Amen to that.
3 a.m. I'm like, how many of you guys are like, that's me, I get that. Yeah, 3 a.m. Like, that's we saw. That's 4 a.m. I get 2 hours of sleep. I'm back to school. And I have Netflix on while I'm sleeping. Just plug in. Just watch this documentary on the Unabomber. I sleep. But that's, so that's the average time. So 13 and a half hours a day. And that's at night. And what researchers have found is there is a correlation in your age group, in Gen Z, between the amount of time spent on the phone and anxiety and depression. They run parallel with one another. It's amazing. And by the way, I don't want to make you feel, I'm not here going, and if you spend that much time on your phone, how dare you? Because I believe that it's more of the content that you're watching than anything. Or is it? I want to tell you a story, and it's a quick one, and then we're going to get into this. I'm learning to play the banjo, and I do enjoy it, okay? It's a lot of fun. I actually wanted to bring it so I could play it in front of you, and you guys laugh at me, and I don't mind. I don't care. I love the banjo. I love bluegrass music. It's the best. And if you say anything else, there's a door. I love bluegrass music. It's the greatest on the planet, and there's no argument against it. So I was bored. We were quarantined in November because of COVID. And I was really just learning to play. And the election happened. And it was November 2nd. And I remember because I was like, I posted this video of me playing the banjo. And I said, for those who don't get their way tonight, here's a video to enjoy. Or here's some banjo to enjoy. Whatever. And I posted a video of me playing banjo. Now, I'm not a guy who puts myself out there. I'm not. You can ask my wife, I don't post content. I don't. I was freaking out in my heart. I wonder what, like, I posted it. And I was like, should I have posted that? I probably should delete it. Like, and then I'm like, I wonder if people even like it. Like, will they? or will I just get made fun of because I'm playing a banjo? And rightfully so. That's, if you want to make fun of me for it, Adam, like, it doesn't really feel. But for some reason on Facebook it did, because it was going to be public. And I was like, and so I found myself in my boredom going back to Facebook, seeing how many people liked it. Like, how many hearts did I get? How many, like, of the wild faces did I get? Like, this is impressive. And then people were commenting, and I was like, oh. And then any time that I would go back, I'd see that little one down there, I'd be like, I want to know who liked it. And it literally was just like, it consumed me. And I was like, I'm looking for affirmation. Like, I couldn't believe it. And I haven't posted anything since, because it scared me. The anxiety that just swelled up because of how much I wanted to be liked. And so I'm thinking, I can't imagine how it is for some of you who are like, I like to post things. And you get that rush off of it. And I'm like, I could not live that way. And we're running towards these things because we want to fuel our thoughts with things. I wanted to fuel my thoughts with affirmation. I wanted to be affirmed by you. Point number one. Contentment comes through sacrifice. Contentment comes through sacrifice. This is verse number 1, Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. If we are to be truly content, so we understood that the only way to true contentment, so false contentment is found in other things, true contentment is found in Jesus and Jesus alone, because he said that. Apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Say louder.
Nothing.
I want you to be convinced by that. I want you to know that. Apart from Jesus, it can't happen. So we have to have that understanding. And then we come here. In order to continue the contentment in Jesus, we have to be self-sacrificing. And this is within our minds first. We have to be. What does this look like, though? What is being self-sacrificial in our minds look like? We need to start changing the way we think. Renewing the way we think. Point number 2, contentment does not come through the world. We're rightly through these because I want to bring them all together. Contentment comes through the changing of our thought life. Contentment does not come through the world. Contentment comes through the changing of our thought life. In the book of Romans, I love how Paul writes the book of Romans. If you're like dying for theology, just read and study the book of Romans. But Romans walks through the life of an individual who is unsaved, is a sinner, needs Jesus, accepts Jesus, and then from that point forward is being sanctified in Jesus. This is the point in which someone is being sanctified in Jesus. This is the point that where someone is saved and now they're changing to be more like Christ. This is Romans 12. And so we are sacrificing our bodies. This is the living sacrifice we now are supposed to have. And in this, we do it by transforming our thoughts. What does that look like? We have, when we get saved, baggage. Like the lie is that when you get saved, it's all puppy dogs and rainbows. That there's nothing wrong all of a sudden. Everything's fine. And that's simply not true. We still have to deal with stuff. You still have stuff that you struggle with, right? I did. So I'm assuming I'm not alone. So we deal with this. Well, what happens is God wants us to deal with this stuff. Because this is, we're now trying to change our worldview. There is a theory, or the junk drawer theory, that I like to talk about. And the junk drawer theory, how many of you guys have ever heard the junk drawer theory? Just curious. What it is in your house you have a junk drawer. Right? Everyone's got one. This is normal. And what that is whenever you're, you have, people coming over to your house, what do? And you're, out on the counter, you're like, no, I'm going to put this in your mom or dad's, hey, go clean that off. And you're like, okay. You know what I'm talking about. And you have an old battery in there since you were 5 years old. You have a key there that you don't know what it goes to anymore. You have some random wires that's your dad's we got to keep those because someday we might need them. And you're like, all right. Napkins. A telephone number that doesn't have a name on it. But just trash. And so we have this junk drawer, and then one day, it's time to clean the junk drawer. So you pull the junk drawer out, and you actually start going through things. And you're like, oh, we don't need that. And you throw a majority of it away. You don't need most of it. And then you're like, we'll keep the batteries. And then you shut it without anything in it. And what happens with the junk drawer is it's never repurposed. You never changed or transformed that junk drawer. So what happens to it? You just put more junk.
Yeah.
It just stays the same. Someone says, hey, we'll clean the counters. Oh, here's an empty drawer. Jackpot. And so it becomes a junk drawer again. What do you need to do in order to change the junk drawer?
Repurpose.
The junk drawer needs to be transformed. And so, ultimately, this is our minds. We have junk worldviews. We have constantly things that are telling us what to think and how to think and what side we should be on. And we're not going, I need to transform my mind. I just want to keep running to the same thing that's telling me what I want to hear. You're creating a junk drawer in your mind and you've never repurposed it. You got saved, you love Jesus, but you've never chosen to change. And what happens is the junk drawer isn't fulfilling. It's creating discontentment in your mind because you're still inviting worldviews, secular worldviews into your mind. And what happens is we start to have identity issues. We start to struggle with who we are, who other people are. Everybody's out to get me. We start having anxiety. We start fearing what's around the corner. We start struggling with depression. It's hard to get out of bed in the morning because when you go anywhere, you just need to hear negative things. Because you never repurpose your thought life. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. The world will never fulfill you. Too often, we stop going to the Creator. When we go to Created to get our wisdom. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And I love this, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How do we know the will of God? Anybody?
Bible.
Do you know this is the will of God? The question that people have is, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. I do. So all is in here. Do you believe that this is the inerrant word of God? It's all true. Nothing in this is false. That's huge. If you believe that anything in this Bible is wrong, then the whole thing's wrong. If there's one lie in this Bible, the whole thing's a fallacy. It doesn't matter. If you believe that this is the inerrant, there's nothing false in this word, then you have the will of God in your hands right now. And in this is what's good and acceptable, and the last one, perfect, complete, nothing wrong. So what are the things we should think about then? If we believe that this is the inerrant word of God, this is all true, turn to Philippians 4. We'll end with this. Philippians 4. We read Philippians 4, 4 through 7 before every session, and I hope that you guys read it tomorrow morning before you do anything. Right after that passage that we read is found here. This is so amazing. You want to know what you need to think about? So many times we're like, yeah, you're telling me to think differently, but what am I supposed to think about? Like, give me some practical advice on this. I want something that I can apply. Here's the things that we ought to think about. Paul says this to the church of Philippians. He says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So you want to know what you need to think about? You want to know what will bring you contentment? You want to know what will stop stirring your mind and all of these other things? You want to know what will start to filter the things that you listen to? The things that you are getting your worldview from? Here's your filter. Here's your filter. Whatever is true. So write down the word true. So you'll see the 8 spaces there. Write these things down. Whatever is true. So this deals with your identity. Man. Being on social media this day and age, being on the internet this day and age for you guys, I can't imagine what you guys hear. I can't imagine what you guys see on a regular basis. See, I didn't have that. I didn't have this, I had a flip phone at 18. I didn't have any of this. I didn't have this pressure. What is true? This is the first thing that's mentioned by Paul. Whatever is true, that will eliminate a lot of stuff that you're feeding into your mind. If it's feeding you false, and that means anything against God's word, anything that's contrary to this, stop eating that up. Leave it be. And you may go, but I like this bucket. I like this stream. I like this. It isn't worth it. For your contentment in Jesus Christ, it is not worth it. And what's scary is if you're unwilling to give it up, that's even scarier. Because you may be serving something you shouldn't be serving. Whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever is pure. Are you watching something that celebrates sin? That celebrates it? Whatever is commendable. These next few here are building up. Whatever is commendable. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise. Think about these things. Because what you put in your mind will affect how you act. What your actions will be. So if I'm putting in my mind the bad things, my actions will show it. Whether it's self-harm or others, it will manifest itself. So I'll end with this. What are you putting in your mind? What is creating the unrest? What is creating the anxiety? What is creating the depression? What is creating the image issues? What's creating the identity issues? God absolutely loves you. And He loves who He made you to be. And He wants your mind and what you think about to match up with His will. With what He thinks. Are you doing that? Or are you feeding your mind with others? Let's pray. God, this is a tough issue. As so often we find friend groups and we find so many other things to find fulfillment, to affirm what we want to be affirmed. And God, I pray that through your word, you are separating truth from lies. God, I know that there are people in here suffering in their minds and in their hearts because they don't know what to believe. God, I pray that you would point them to your word. I pray, God, that you are just urging them to go to what you are and who you are and what you want them to know and what you and their worth in you. God, I pray that you are transforming their minds to what is perfect, to what is true. And we thank you, Father. We love you, and we're so thankful for your grace that abounds every day in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.